Eastwood Show, the grooviest, most round table 2 hours in talk radio, broadcasting from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the sunny slave South Pacific is beautiful this time of year, where it is, interestingly enough, in the height of summer, snowing. It is very strange, and me and a couple of other people have commented, that the seasons have been moving, changing, as if summer ain't summer anymore. Summer's more like spring. And autumn's more like summer. As if they've skipped one over. It's very strange. Like we've lost a seasonal complex here. Am I the only person that's noticed this? Or is the weather just really, really strange? Anyway, that rustling you hear in the background would be Sterling D. Allen.
Setting up my webcam. I don't know if you want to see my face, but I'm setting it up.
Well, you can if you like, but I wouldn't suggest it.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to sort of have a bit of a roundtable discussion here, and we'll be bringing up very soon enough my good friend Billy McKee from New Zealand, who has lost a leg due to a drunk driver and is now using cannabis as a form of relief from it, from the pain of walking around on it. And he's turned out that he's one of the leading people in the cannabis movement here in New Zealand and medical usage, etc., to the point where you can just grow something in your backyard, sellotape it to your leg, and it'll start to heal up all the bruising and the scarring and that sort of stuff. It's a very miraculous plant, and thank goodness it's illegal.
Yeah, we need to make that legal, don't we? There's a lot of uses of hemp and cannabis, medicinal, as far as, you know, biofuel, textiles. There's all kinds of uses of the plant. It's become politicized by a very corrupt government, and hopefully with some attention that Ron Paul and others are bringing to the matter in the United States, it may change eventually, sooner than later in the United States anyway. Haven't they made it legal like in some countries in Europe?
Allegedly. It was found that when the Netherlands had a provisions to allow for coffee shops and things of that nature, the usage rate was about 1 in 20 people or something like that. Or maybe it was, I think it was actually 1 in 8. 1 in 8 people were users. And after they passed the law, it became about 1 in 20 or 1 in 21. And they interviewed a lot of people and asked them, why is it that you kind of stopped using cannabis after you had it, you know, available to you without any criminal recompense? And they're like, well, my social circle's changed. When you are doing something that's illegal, generally you'll do it with other people that are doing it, knowing it's illegal. And so it turns out that most of your friends become people from whom that main association is doing something illegal together. And that's about it.
When I was in Amsterdam... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead. You were in Amsterdam.
Yeah, about, I don't know, last August, I went with the guy who was hosting me, went to a shop right alongside the street. Totally legal, walked in, and he bought some cannabis, no problem, smoked it. I it's not something that I do, but I thought that was quite interesting.
Well, it's more the point that there's a lot of damaging drugs out there, and cannabis sativa of all its many strains doesn't seem to actually be one of them, scientifically speaking. When they linked it to lung cancer, they based that on a test on a monkey where they put 1,000 joints worth of smoke into its lungs through a breathing apparatus with no air intake. Mm-hmm. And then they said, oh, it damages the lungs. We've certainly got to make this illegal.
Yeah, for my friend, it was something that was, it made the difference between being able to sleep at night and not sleeping at night. That had a sedative effect that enabled him to get over some pain that he had and, you know, back issues and whatnot. So, yeah, hugely medicinal in his case. And that's just one person. There are thousands of different scenarios. What is the primary hang-up? Why is it not legal?
Well, there've been all sorts of stories. Have you noticed when somebody's telling you a lie, their stories start to change all the time?
Well, some people who lie don't know how to tell the truth, even when the truth would serve them better.
Yeah. I would make that same distinction as well. It's almost as if, because you lie so much, you're now unable to see into the truth of things.
Yeah, and I think these guys' days are coming to an end. They're getting more and more power, but I like to use the analogy of an addict, such as, you know, let's take a scenario of a husband and wife relationship, a codependent situation, and the wife has finally had her fill and she wants out of there. You know, he's throwing things around the house. He's pulling muscle, and he's saying, if I'm not going to have you, no one will. He's pulling out the gun, and it's getting pretty ugly. But I think that the enlightened portion of society has a destiny to succeed and have victory against these crazy guys who are running the planet right now, who have taken over the seats of power, the banks, the media, the education systems. Their days are coming to an end. I don't know how quick the transition's going to be, but I think we're to the point, using the addict analogy, where they're about to hit the wall, where people are going to see them for who they are. They're going to see themselves for who they are. And no one's going to want to have anything to do with them anymore. They're going to be out on the street, so to speak. They're going to lose their power. And, yeah.
Well, when you think about the people who are currently in power, losing all that power, you wonder, will there be a power vacuum? Will there be other people that have absolutely no interest in the public good, trying to make like they are acting in the public good, just like we do now? How is the public going to be informed enough to make those kind of mass choices? I don't think that that's possible. I think the only real way for the future is for everybody to localize, you know? That you want to decentralize everything, because it's a hell of a lot harder to hide corruption in a community of a few thousand people than it is to hide it in a community of a few million people.
Yeah, that's a true principle, and I think also what's going to happen is that there's, I think, a maxim that you can say that the people get the kind of government they deserve, and that the government that we have is really a reflection of where we're at as a society. And as people wake up and realize their power and realize the need to do things a better way than what they've been doing, to change course, then their leadership will follow suit.
If it's the people lead and the politicians will follow, I more think it's if the people chase, the politicians will run away.
That's part of it. That's part of getting the leadership we deserve, is when we don't have the leadership that we want, we chase them out. And so the people who replace them are hopefully more of a reflection of where the people are at. But I agree that we should be going more local. But at the same time, I'm not one of these people that decry the general concept of global government. Government is basically the governance of issues that pertain to the subset of whether it's nations or states or counties or cities in a particular set that you have. And so if you have a bunch of nations who are interacting with each other, there is going to be commerce between them, and there needs to be a set of laws and guidance. And so the problem is that historically, the socialist end of the spectrum have been the only ones providing us with this, a government solution in the name of the new of the United Nations and the New World Order. And what we need to do is, from the freedom end of the spectrum, people who understand individual responsibility, there needs to be an alternative to the United Nations version of global government, something that is based on principles of freedom. And I actually initiated such a drive back in 2001, around the time of the towers fell. We started a group called Remnant Saints Intercontinental Congress. The idea was basically to, in the spirit of the founding of the United States, where you had the Continental Congress, which was basically the revolutionary body that predated the constitutional form of government that came after the Revolutionary War. We were basically an international group of people who were saying, what is the form of government that we want for the world that's based on freedom, based on elections, based on responsibility to the people who they're representing? And we came up with some documents. There were some revisions to what we, the Constitution of the United States, which, for example, when it was launched, legalized or said it was okay to have slaves. Obviously, that was out of sorts, and that's something they had to have in there in order for it to pass because of the sentiments of the day. The people weren't ready to go that far. We are nowadays, and so we could easily have a provision in a world government document based on principles of freedom that would honor the rights of every individual, of every race, etc., so that everyone has the right to the principles of freedom and protection of those principles. Go ahead.
G. Edward Griffin has a really good idea on this. If you can't fight City Hall, right? So what you do is you become City Hall, and they have Freedom Force International opening up everywhere. And what they're going to do is they're actually going to train people on how to be candidates, how to speak, and that sort of thing, so that they can run for office in their local districts, you know, help them with raising money for campaigns, etc. I think what's happening with the internet and how it's basically under attack right now, it belies the principle that when you bring people closer together, you improve things. Like, they're demanding censorship rights. Have you ever seen message boards? If anybody's, like, really off the cuff and very abusive and spreading BS and whatever, people just get together on the groups and just go, this guy's really offensive, get him out of here. And they get kicked from the group, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah. So the internet is actually pretty much self-enforcing because the people using it are, in most cases, pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the need for all this censorship? And the need lies in the fact that the truth is getting out about everything, about who's really in control, where the money comes from, who's got their stranglehold on resources and is just piddling it out to the population at a premium price.
One of the things the internet does, too, that local affiliations don't allow to the same extent, it enables people of like mind to get together and to share ideas, whether it's scientific, health-related, energy-related, and you can basically get the best thinkers on a given topic from around the planet, and they tend to gravitate to each other. If you build it, they will come. You put up a website about energy, and people start showing up and submitting stuff there, and you end up being the best resource on the web. That's what happened in my case. I just basically put up a sign and became the de facto a free energy news resource, and that's where people went for their stuff and sent me good stuff, and it just turned into what we set it up to be. Same thing in basically every genre of thought. Whereas before, where it was more provincial, You felt more like an outsider. You know, is there anyone else who thinks like I do? Am I all alone? And you tend to, it's a bit difficult road to hoe to have these crazy ideas that turn out to not be so crazy as you share with them with others, and they expand on what you said, and vice versa. And there's this international, I guess you would say, cross-pollinization that takes place, and helping these ideas to mature and to take root. So you have great thinkers such as David Icke getting people to think a different way, and they have international. He gives a presentation over in France, and the next day I'm able to download it from YouTube and watch it here in Utah. And so there's really no more borders or limitations on thoughts and people gravitating toward things that they're ready to receive. And so the growth curve of learning and growing and expanding and waking up is hugely accelerative. And so the powers that be, even though they're trying to use these same tools to stop us and to censor us, basically have a losing battle to fight because of the enlightenment, the rate at which people are waking up because of the internet. That said, I have to think about something else. Maybe we can get to this. It sounds like you're going to break now.
Yes, that's right and correct. He's ahead of the curve, ladies and gentlemen. Sterling D. Allen from PezWiki.com, the free energy Wikipedia. And we'll be right back after the break. Ooh.
Well, there's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years? And you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall. There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
What's up with these sorry politicians? Lots of bark. When it's showtime, whimpering like little shih tzus. You want big cuts? Ron Paul's been screaming it for years. Budget crisis? No problem. Cut $1 trillion year one. That's trillion with a T. Department of Education? Gone. Interior? Energy? HUD? Commerce? Gone. Later, bureaucrats. That's how Ron Paul rolls. Want to drain the swamp? Ron Paul. Do it.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Ron Paul, a visionary who predicted the financial crisis, a leader with a plan to solve it. The Paul Plan? Balance the budget. Cut $1 trillion year one. Eliminate 5 federal bureaucracies. End the foreign wars and nation building. Rein in the Federal Reserve. Pay down the debt. Cut taxes to create jobs. Ron Paul, a plan to restore America now.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices shot up 3% Wednesday after the Fed's new loan rate pledge, despite a firmer dollar. Gold last traded at $1,711 an ounce, silver at $3,329. Well, the Fed has declared war on U.S. dollar holders, according to Craig Smith. Fed decision today to hold interest rates at 0% until 2014. It's essentially another quantitative easing. The Fed's decision is nothing short of a declaration of war against American savers. Savings accounts will yield a guaranteed negative return, as well as the loss of future buying power, says Smith. And gold is proving the best return of all commodities in the last 5 years, according to Bloomberg. Also, it's showing signs of being a riskless return. Read more about it at SwissAmerica.com. Or give us a call toll-free at 800-289-2646. Toll-free at 800-289-2646.
Warning. 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 American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy is the Vinnie Eastwood Show. In a world so full of madness and chaos, don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go friggin' nuts. Weekdays 5 to 7 Central on American Freedom Radio.
Back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Oh, New Zealand's a beautiful place. We're allowed 1,000 times more Roundup ready in the water supply as is operated under European drinking water standards. Man, we're clean and green. Of course, that's the colour of the dye that they put into the Roundup so that, you know, it blends in with the grass that it kills and fetal cells that it manipulates and mutates. I love this country. It's a great land of hypocrisy. And you know what's funny about living in a land of great hypocrisy? It's because that's what everybody's thinking. You know, name me one country that is not in daily in violation of the laws of hypocrisy. Nothing comes to mind, does it? It's a terrible, terrible world we live in, run by terrible, terrible people. And the only way to stop this terrible, terrible stuff is to get on some very good, very fantastic, enlightened, and experienced, and professional, unlike myself, guests on the Vinnie Eastwood Show for your pleasure. And we got a little bit of a mashup here. So we've still got Sterling D. Allen from Pez Wiki. All right, just Google Pez Wiki, the free energy Wikipedia. There's a heck of a lot of info about free energy that you can get off that website. I kid you not. There's much, much more information than Wikipedia will get you. That's for sure. And we also have the fabulous Dr. Robin Falkov, and I'd like her to introduce herself to us herself because she's just that fabulous that I can't do it for her.
Hi, Vinny. So good to be back with you. For your audience, let me tell them that I'm a doctor of Oriental medicine and a homeopathic physician. My website is healthfreedomrights.com, and we have the same goals, Vinny, and I thank you so much for the very important work that you're doing, bringing so many of us together to address all of the insanity and outright lies we deal with.
Or as I like to call it, scumbaggery.
Okay, better you saying that than me.
Well, you know, it is a scumbaggery, topsy-turvy world, you know. Up is down, left is right, and by goodness, all the five-pointed pentagrams are facing down. It's a very...
Yeah, I call it a Saturday Night Live reality, because all of the things that we're living now, had we seen it 15 years ago on Saturday Night Live, without doubt, everyone would say, that's crazy. No one would go that far.
Yeah, you know, these new laws come along that are going to pass, and it's like, oh, I don't need to worry about putting my voice about that. There's no way any congressman would ever vote for that, and then they do!
Mm. Oh, it's a two-party system! I remember an episode of The Simpsons, these two aliens came down and they possessed, they made these copies of Bob Dole and President Clinton, and they ran them in the election against one another. And then it gets revealed to the public that they really are aliens. And they go, whoa, you have to vote for one of us. It's a two-party system. And then afterwards, after they've all been enslaved, the entirety of humanity, and everybody goes, oh, my God, it sucks that we had to vote for those aliens. And he goes, yeah, don't blame this on me. I voted for Kroll.
Yeah, I think we all have to demand change, and that's what we've seen with the Occupy movements that are now 2,840 around the world. They have not gone away as much as every government is, you know, trying desperately to get rid of them. They are here to stay and growing, and everyone has to join in.
Well, this afternoon, after this broadcast here, I will actually be going down to Central Auckland to attend a protest. For the right to protest.
Yes,
because our occupiers just got shifted off the council land in a most brutal fashion, and much personal property of the occupiers was destroyed.
That seems to be repeated around the world. And right now in the United States, they have a bill that they're trying to pass. It might have passed, about whistleblowers, that they claim that if you're a whistleblower about something like factory farming, you are, get this, you are depriving that business of making its income, and you can be prosecuted.
Oh, wouldn't it be the logical thing, of course, if I wasn't a sociopath? The logical thing would be to prevent harm to other people, because there's a heck of a lot more associated costs with that than the current economic costs that could come to the company, right?
One of the things I'm looking forward to when things do fall apart, and I think it's when, not if, and it's just a matter of how bad, but one of the things that modern society has taken away from us, or that we've removed from modern society, is the old-fashioned walking down the street, saying hi to your neighbor, going shaking his hands. They're on the porch swing. Nowadays, you drive down a subdivision, all the shades are drawn. Nobody, you know, even the kids aren't outside playing hardly like they used to. Now they're inside playing Wii and playing computer games and yada, yada, yada. It seems like we need to return to some of that. I think the international connecting that we talked about earlier is good. That, you know, some of the stuff we're able to do through the internet, we can have friends all over the world and update our status on Facebook and make new friends there. But to a certain extent, I think we're way out of balance in terms of the personal face-to-face interactions that we used to have a long time ago, at least when I was a kid. Modern generation doesn't even relate to that kind of interaction. And I think that there's maybe a social dearth, and it's leading to some of the sickness that we're seeing in society. Dr. Robin, what do you think about that? What are your thoughts along those lines?
Oh, gosh. You're talking about the disconnect. It's something that's been coming up more and more often. And I'm curious if you've seen the movie Surrogates. It's a Bruce Willis movie. And
yeah, I have.
You have, Vinny?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's.
See, everybody just doesn't do anything. They're just sitting there living their life through a machine.
Well, yeah. So there is no interaction, and you look at so many of, I'm looking at your picture, Vinny, probably your generation and younger, that don't even talk to each other on the phone. They are texting, and any personal connection is devoid of emotion when you're texting. I mean, there's just so much an emoticon can do. So it's back to community. That's the solution, I think. The only thing that makes sense.
When I was growing up, I think I learned how to use a phone when I was 5 or 4, and the phone was always being used. We were fighting over the phone. In my house, I have 4 kids, and the phone rings and is on in use maybe 3 minutes a day for maybe my wife or myself. And I think I can count on one hand the number of times that my kids have used a phone, and the oldest is 12.
Wow. I don't know what to say.
Well, see, everybody's kind of losing touch with normal things, things that everybody else is pretty much on the ball with. We have a bit of a bad feedback there. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. But I find that when you're talking about instructing a new generation to get with the program, that certain things are going wrong and very, very wrong, and you need to do something about it because you're the only ones with the energy to. You need to be talking to each other. You need to also be conversing with wiser, elder people or more experienced people. You don't need to just be hanging out with people of your own age, because the people of your own age only know what you know.
Definitely. I think one of the big untapped resources that we have around the world is the generation of the grandparents. They have seen so much, and universally, I'm sure, after living through so much that they have, where things have gone, it has to be a nightmare, you know, to see their children living in societies with governments that totally disregard them.
Yeah, and speaking of societies where the government totally disregards people, we have a very special guest also dropping in with us, Billy McKee. Welcome to the program.
You have anything for that? Thanks
for the invitation. Well, there's a bit of a bad connection on your part there, mate.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's sounding a little bit better. Could you just inform the audience just a little bit about yourself? I think I've already done that. You're pretty much a decent bloke who's had an amputation due to a drunk driver and is using cannabis for the pain and is getting persecuted by the government in all avocation of any kind of moral ethic or medical concern. They don't have any words to say to the complimentary of that topic, do they?
Oh, it's no. Weed, it's cannabis, oh, he's a bad, bad person, he must be a criminal, it must be some description of conspirator plotting to overthrow the conservative government, oh.
Oh, and what makes you so mad is, you know, you go to a local jail and what is it, a third or more, maybe even half of the inmates are there over drug charges. And what about these guys who are crashing our economies worldwide? None of them are in jail. The guys who are affecting billions of lives are skating and getting billion-dollar bonuses to each other at the end of the year, while these guys who smoke some pot or have some weed for medicinal purposes, heaven's sake, are in jail.
Yeah, it's the world's upside down. It's gone crazy, Sterling, when you think of someone who's been through what Billy's been through to have difficulty finding a treatment or being allowed to use a treatment that works for him. More and more people are focusing in on the fact that nobody should be above the law, not the bankers, not the politicians, and it's time for accountability across the board.
Yep, the Scumbaggery Suppression Act.
So, Billy, tell us about what cannabis does for you and how long you've been using it. I'm curious.
Well, I've been using it for, say, 15 or 20 years. As I've been seeing more problems from my amputation, I've been using it a bit more.
Can you speak up, Billy?
Oh, okay. I found it really beneficial for the nerve damage on my stump, but I also belong to a group called Green Cross, which is a support group for people that are using medical cannabis, and that's what's really, you know, is really painful for me is seeing people that are really ill from brain tumors and from cancer and things like that, where they're pretty sure cannabis will help, but they're not allowed to use it, or they actually can't get it. And these people are actually dying in quite high levels of pain. So it actually makes my situation fade into insignificance when I'm watching this happening in front of me.
So everybody has a story to tell, and that's the thing about it. If it wasn't a problem, then nobody would have a story to tell.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty hard because, see, we even seem to be fighting against our own medical profession. You know, because it's actually in our laws that we can get a prescription or a supporting letter from our doctors to say that we're using medical cannabis. But the health department in New Zealand actually sent out a letter just recently to all the doctors asking them not to sign any more support letters or not to get any more prescriptions for cannabis, which is very hard because, see, if the doctors did that, then the police wouldn't arrest us anymore. The police weren't arresting anybody from Green Cross or anybody that had any letters from the doctors to say that they were medical users. The police weren't arresting them. And this was our only sort of chance of getting a bit of stress off people that are really suffering badly. But, you know, the health department was actually meant to be looking after us and actually say that, you know, that they're going to be looking after us. They're actually doing the exact opposite.
Gosh.
So it's making it very hard to get cannabis all together. And you know, so I got some sleeping calls from my doctor the other day because I just wasn't sleeping at all. It's, you know, it's actually really dangerous that because everything sort of falls apart around you when you're not sleeping enough. And what happened was I thought I'd have the pills and I'd sleep okay, but then the next day I was really, really sick. The next day I felt like I was hungover. I had a really foul taste in my mouth and I didn't feel like eating at all. You know, so, you know, that sort of thing, it can't go on for very long. I couldn't drive the car and I couldn't function in the bedroom either, which was even worse. So it makes it very difficult for people to get by. What are you laughing at, Vinny?
Well, it's just, when you think about it, we talked about the whole idea of the topsy-turvy world, everything's upside down, right? And the worst thing about it, I think, and statistically, one of the biggest killers is our health sector.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Vinny Acewood Show. I've got an activist mashup here, Dr. Robin Falkoff, Sterling D. Allen, and Billy McKee. Doesn't happen very often in talk radio where you get a whole bunch of great minds together, but, you know, I can swing it because it's worth it. We'll be right back.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. Tuberculite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Tuberculite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. Tuberculite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table to figure out how badly they're getting f***ed by a system that threw them overboard 30 f***ing years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your f***ing retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all.
This is Sean David Morton, the host of Strange Universe Radio, and I've achieved worldwide fame for my predictions about the stock market and the global economy. Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even the stability of nations. Our country teeters on the brink of seeming economic wreck and ruin. Everybody asks me one question: what can I do? Gold's the one investment that preserves and grows real wealth in today's debt-addicted world. Rising government spending and taxes and inflation almost guarantee higher gold prices for years to come. You can protect your family and your future, even if a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety from the financial storm ahead is to read Swiss America's fantastic new white paper called Remaking Money. It's free when you call 800-289-2646. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or go to SwissAmerica.com and download the new amazingly cool Swiss America app on iTunes. That's 800-289-BUY-COIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Your life as it has been is over.
Radio Free Humanity on AFR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift. Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Central.
Is about, there's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Very special guests all mashed up here together. Some of them will be leaving, some of them will be staying. Who knows? You never know what's going to go down on a late night show, or any show for that matter, that involves live radio, especially one hosted by me. There's big problems all around the world right now. Okay. Let me see if I could just, you know, break this down into a nutshell for people. The people you're elected to represent you, who have control over your resources, ain't serving you, they're serving a corporation that bought you out long ago. Okay? They got control of all your resources and all your political power, so you got nothing. You don't have a voice. That's the biggest problem ever, because they control the media too. And the worst problem about that is they've also got control of the school systems and are dumbing everybody down so they don't notice that the same things are run by the same people. Because there is this lack of public education in very important things, like the subject of scumbaggery and its derivatives, people are basically lambs to the slaughter. They didn't even see it coming. Like a bunch of cavemen sitting around with spears going up against an F-16 fighter bomber. They just got no chance. There is a humanitarian project going on around the world called Doctors Without Borders, where it matters not where the conflict zone is. If there are people who are injured and having a terrible time and just need a doctor there to patch them up and give them some medicine and etc., Doctors Without Borders will go in there when nobody else will. I was thinking about Thinkers Without Borders, because at the moment, people are broken and need to be patched up and need to be taken off their medication and need to be getting vitamins and nutrients and minerals and education and various free energy devices to run their cubicles, lights on, everything. There is a heck of a lot going wrong, and heaps of people have come up with solutions for all of it. Okay? Just because it's a massive problem doesn't mean it's impossible to figure out. It just means it'd probably be impossible to figure out while you're on your own.
Don't we essentially already have that with the internet? Thinkers Without Borders, we have the ability to respond to problems wherever they are and to provide support, intellectual input, and you're just putting another word or an enlightening word to what the internet has achieved.
I agree, and this was the point that we alluded to earlier, is that the internet has connected us as, well, basically it's like a conduit for the world's thoughts and comings and goings. I don't think this has ever kind of existed in this capacity before, at least not that I've experienced to this extent. So we're all becoming closer together. And remember how we talked about how everything needs to be kind of localized so that there's not too much corruption or whatever? The internet actually kind of localizes the globe.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to have things in real time. That's a great point, Sterling, and we have to fight diligently to protect our access to the internet, because just as much as we're working to protect it, they're trying to take things away from us with those idiot laws like SOPA and PIPA.
Yeah. Before you leave, you have to take off around the top of the hour. I wanted to get your input along the lines of what we were talking about earlier on cannabis. I think the stereotypical view of pot is a pothead who smokes pot and, whoa, man, like, what's going on, man? That kind of mentality that is evoked by the smoking of the pot. Could you maybe give us a primer as to how addictive is pot? How is it administered in a medicinal state? And then maybe we can also talk about some of the other non-medicinal uses we alluded to earlier. But I'd be curious, before you leave, to at least hit the medical ends of it. I don't know if that's your specialty or if you have knowledge about those things, but I'd be curious to know.
Sure, it's not my specialty, but I'm familiar with different aspects of the use of medical marijuana and, you know, recreational marijuana. And the bottom line with what you're describing is how people are portrayed, like the Cheech and Chong images. It's just like how they portray, you know, someone perhaps like myself as a doctor of oriental medicine, homeopath, working with nutrition, you know, a health nut, a this nut, or people in alternative energy, like, you know, impossible things. Anything that is a threat to establishment, they work diligently to slander us. And, you know, well, the first step is laughing at us, and then afterwards it's the slander. And anyone with half a brain can see how important medical marijuana is by the extremes to which this government has gone to illegally, or I guess the federal government had the legal power to actually do reverse sting operations in California to set people up who were licensed to grow marijuana and then arrest them. So it has definite benefits for pain reduction, definite benefits for people who are making the decision, who don't know perhaps that they have other options, and they decide to undergo chemotherapy And the side effects are so horribly debilitating that people just get weaker and weaker. And they have found for years, I mean, going back probably 30 years or even more, that just smoking marijuana will take that nausea away, and a patient can regain their appetite and have some quality of life back, even if they're in end stage. It just gives a calming effect to the patient, and the benefits are enormous, but it's cheap. You know, the only people regulating it are the governments who use the funds to pay for black ops, but the pharmaceutical industry don't get a piece of it. So, you know, it makes it very challenging for that and so many other good things. We have to really help out people all across the country and around the world and demand that the access to these things is created if it's not there, or maintained if it is. It's absolutely nuts taking these things away from people.
I understand that pot smoking and pot itself is not really that addictive. It can be addictive, but compared to, for example, alcohol or compared to cocaine, it's really mild in its addictive tendencies.
I think you have a point there. It's more what we look at as habituation, and we have more problems now with people becoming habituated because of the stresses, nonstop, you know, stress, unrelenting pressure all around in politics, in health, banking, real estate. You know, it doesn't sit well with anybody to be sold out by your governments, and these stresses drive people more to substances which give them some sort of distancing between themselves and between what's going on. So in many countries, I was just interviewing a friend who lives in Greece. She was saying the government does nothing for helping people with drug problems, and they just seem to turn their backs on the increased use of heroin among the people, because there you have people who are hopeless. So marijuana is kind of really low on the totem pole, but it's that spin. What's the famous movie? Do you remember the famous
Reefer
movie?
Reefer Madness.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. So you can dramatize anything, which they seem to do about all the good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were saying something about the procedure that they use to fight this from a philosophical point of view. You talk about first they make fun of you, and then they libel you, you know, make up stuff that's not even true. And I think from a strategy point of view, if we understand that one of the primary tools is to make fun of people, call them a crackpot, if we understand that that is the way they get people to shut up and they get people to comply, is they don't want to be considered a crackpot, I think that is a major tool on our behalf to recognize when somebody is using that method to say, hey, that's an inappropriate, it's an ad hominem, it has nothing to do with the facts, and they just make fun of people. And that's one of the things that has empowered me to do what I'm doing in free energy, is to not worry about all the people in the forums and whatnot who call us crackpots and crazy and stupid and junk science. And, you know, we get called names every day several times whenever we post a story, and we just ignore it. You know, it's just...
Oh, Sterling, I have a great anecdote here. This guy said that I was really stupid, wasting my time, and that I should go get some quantifications and get a job. See, they're just idiots, and they strike out at anything like a dog batting at fleas. It's a terrible sight, but it's quite hilarious.
You should have asked them to quantify all of the areas in which they're speaking. Oh.
Well, no, I actually have a convenient ability on this, which most people do. It's called block, and you never hear from them again. Oh, God, it feels good. It's like purging a pimple. Oh, yes. All right, well, we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Robin, thank you very much for coming up here tonight.
My pleasure, Vinny, and thank you again for the fabulous music. I really appreciate and use it.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The year 2012 brings an ending and a new beginning to social, political, economic, and geological cycles for America and the world. The living prophecy that we are now voyaging through has many names ascribed to it. The Hopi say it's the closing of the fourth world of destruction, moving into the fifth world of peace. The Maya declare that we enter the fifth world age, the age of the center. All common themes in the array of prophecy that we are processing and purifying all the imbalances of the dying world age. We are transcending an era founded on duality, and we have turned away from the great spirit, resulting in greed, corruption, blind materialism, and disconnection from each other and Mother Earth. Collectively, we are poised at the brink of a world age rebirth in which we enter new domains of consciousness and manifestation, redeeming all the previous ages. Let's all join together to bring the vision of peace and love into reality, because we are the future, we are the heroes, and that we are who we have been waiting for.
Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even nations. Gold has become a safe haven, a universally respected investment that preserves and grows wealth in today's debt-addicted world. According to Swiss America, the key to surviving economic earthquakes is maintaining and growing your standard of living. Rising government spending and taxes almost ensure higher gold prices for years to come. The good news? You can protect your family and future, even if the euro crashes and a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety is to read Swiss America's latest white paper, Remaking Money. It's free when you call today, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN, or go to SwissAmerica.com, or download the new Swiss America app at iTunes. That's 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
All right, I'm back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny A. Switch Show. It's hour number two. The fastest 2 hours in Mashed Up Talk Radio, broadcasting live from fabulous Auckland, the city of Ultimate Uber Agenda 21 and Uber Police Brutality. Oh, I love it so much, especially when they drag all the occupiers away in fisticuffs. Hey, and incidentally, guys, on the fence that they posted, some new council bylaw regulations, such as one Mana Party, which is one of the political parties here, is not allowed there. Legalized cannabis. It's just that broad. Anybody thinking about legalizing cannabis is not allowed there. and also Unite Union, you know, like they've banished a union, an entire legalized cannabis movement, and a political party from attending Occupy protests.
All my friends.
It's
fascism.
Yeah, we have a new addition to the mashup here. It's Bob Melamed. Bob, introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi. Most people know me as Dr. Bob. I'm a professor at the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs, and I'm also CEO and president of Cannabis Science, a publicly traded company fighting the drug war by exposing the truth.
Yeah, and that's what the drug war is, basically, just... it's like a Lego of lies, you know. There's just one block that's clipped onto another block, and you'd be remarkably surprised just how sturdy Lego is. Not very. So all you need is a little bit of truth, which is like a smashing fist to that Lego tower of BS, and it comes crumbling to the ground, and the child will cry.
Well, we're waiting for the crumbling part.
Yeah, well, it seems to be crumbling before our eyes, don't you think?
Not fast enough.
It's never fast enough. That's what's the thing. Everybody's thinking about, I want this to happen now, by the next election, by the next term. No, it takes a lifetime, doesn't it? And you've got to be patient and dutiful and all of this other stuff. Who's got the time? Who's got the patience for that kind of thing? A lot of people do, but the fact of the matter is, you know, we should have like apprentices and stuff, you know, with little pointy hats like Mickey Mouse.
Once it crumbles, once it starts, it'll really crumble. Things work actually in a nonlinear fashion. So we're building the foundation by pulling out the little pieces of the foundation, and a critical point will reach, and the house of cards will tumble. And we're getting close to that.
That's good, because I work in a nonlinear fashion too.
Well, most living things do. Sorry.
Sorry, during the break you were mentioning something about that on your website. You just barely posted some new testimonials about the medical use of cannabis. I'd be curious if you could go through those. Is it cannabisscience.com, that's your website?
Cannabisscience.com is the website. And what is on there are not testimonials, but visual photographs of three different patients. One who had a lesion on her nose of basal cell carcinoma. Another of a person who had a lesion on her arm of squamous cell carcinoma. And then the most shattering of this man who has an overwhelming, horrendous case of squamous cell carcinoma on his head. And the two lesser cases, number one and two, those are now cured just with topical application, because those were skin cancers. It says topical application. The man with the horrendous case, after his radiation oncologist sent him home and said, go find somebody else to give you pain meds. He did that, of course, after 120 radiation treatments. And this poor man's tumors would literally start to grow after being irradiated. And then he's been treating himself now with cannabis extracts under, you know, guidance of the scientific reality. And he's had amazing results just in a few weeks, where one of the tumors, which was like, you know, 3 inches wide and 2 inches high, with holes like bowling balls going right down into his skull, that the one is gone. And some of the other ones are in the process of dying. And we're hoping that within another few weeks, he'll be entering into the healing stage. Basically, what's happening with him is replicating the series that you see for the person with the arm who has squamous cell. First, the body expels the tumor so that it is on the surface, and then it kills it. And after the killing phase, then there's the healing phase. And looking at your face, I think you must be looking at those pictures.
Yeah, man. That is the most raucous, freaking, horrific-looking tumor I have ever seen in my life, man. That is horrifying. It's like taking up half the guy's head is like tumor growing off on these big black kind of yellowed creases of pus and fungus and disgusting rot. And then at the end of it, it's like a slight bump on his head with two kind of little holes.
Well, you see one that's on...
It looks fully healed.
The one that's on his left, you see, it's eating it away. Mm. You see there's like a cavern there where that tumor is literally, you know, rotting away.
So it's just kind of disappearing, and it's like leaving all the good stuff behind, you know, and it's actually healing it as it goes.
Exactly. You see how his scalp now, if you look at the one picture where his head's all red and inflamed, that's
inflammation.
And now with the cannabis treatment, you can see how the skin has turned nice and baby-ass pink.
It really is. It looks like new, fresh skin growth.
Yeah, it's pretty profound. But, you got to go through that. It's a painful phase when the tumor is dying because you had that huge mass and there's all nerves in there. So this man is on the one hand, an extremely happy camper because he's actually getting a positive response. And on the other hand, it's very painful. But he knows that this is good pain as opposed to what he had before he went to cannabis treatment, where his original doctor said he had a 1 in 10 chance of surviving.
Wow! See, and this is the madness of mainstream medicine, isn't it? There are people who are genuinely cannot think outside their current paradigm of propaganda.
Well, let me give you a real shocking, disgusting example of that. So this poor man, he went to his first oncologist, who's the one who told him he had a 1 in 10 chance of surviving, who then sent him to his associate, who was a surgeon, who wanted to literally not only cut off his scalp, but cut off his skull, because it had to have penetrated into his skull. And they were going to, like, grow, you know, just the whole contortion of insanity, right? So
it's like when you're a kid, weren't you supposed to, like, be told to stay away from poisons, radiation, sharp objects, you know? What do you get when you go to a doctor and you're sick? He gives you poisons or radiation or cuts you up with sharp objects.
Well, it depends on the sickness. I'm a strong supporter in the proper use of antibiotics. I think those as a class are very good functional drugs. Unfortunately, we spend, you know, we destroy them by feeding millions of pounds a year to cattle so that they'll fatten up for the market. And that makes resistance and then destroys the effectiveness. But aside from that, the bulk of the pharmaceuticals for many of the people with a whole spectrum of conditions, I would say, are best met by cannabis. And if the cannabis doesn't work, then you try something else.
Is cannabis antimicrobial?
It does have antimicrobial properties. It's been demonstrated, for example, to have anti-MRSA effects, you know, these ampicillin-resistant staph that people are getting. But the most profound thing, and this is why we're focusing on it as a company, is the cancer story. Because cancer affects so many people. It's never a pleasure. The outcomes are rarely good. And it's part of the whole medical pharmaceutical industrial complex. You know, I'll give you an example. My father died from radiation treatment and chemotherapy as a result back in the 90s before I knew what I know now, or I would have never let him do that. And he's listed as dying from ARDS, adult respiratory distress syndrome. Well, he didn't die from, he died from cancer and the subsequent cancer treatment that led to ARDS. So you wouldn't want to have a bad statistic for the cancer industry.
Well, hold on, hold on. The cancer industry, what's chemo's cure rate? Is it like 5%?
I don't know what it is. It varies from cancer to cancer. I mean, I've met, for example, a number of people who had testicular cancer who've been cured successfully. And all of those people that I had met always used cannabis as a, you know, to relieve the nastiness. So in that sense, it was good. But what we're talking about now is really along the lines of what Rick Simpson has promoted very much, the use of high-dose cannabis extracts, incredibly high doses, if you have to take it internally. With the skin cancer, you're not even getting high. It's topical. It's, you know, how can they, that's why we're focusing on that, because they're going to have trouble stopping it. You know, first of all, nobody's getting high. So what's your objection?
So these tumors that we were just talking about, is that just topically applied high-dose cannabis oil?
Yes.
Man, that is amazing.
Isn't it amazing? And some of them, you know, we've worked with a number of people who've self-treated themselves with our guidance. And, you know, depending on the cancer and what's gone before, et cetera, sometimes it goes away in a week.
How much is the cancer industry worth per year, Bob?
Billions and billions and billions of dollars.
How much would it be worth if cannabis was legal, Bob?
How much will the pharmaceutical be worth? Would the pharmaceutical industry be worth if cannabis was legal? It's a bigger picture than cancer.
You
guys. Yeah, well, this is the problem here. You know, people don't ask that question. Follow the money.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, this is the undeniable sad truth. I don't know of anybody alive who's not affected directly or indirectly by cancer. And when they understand that they can put on a topical plant extract and that we're prevented from doing that, I want to see the outrage. I want to see the American and the global spring. Just like you had the Arab Awakening, it's time for the cannabis awakening in the cannabis spring, and for the people to say, screw you. And I would have used much harsher words, but I wouldn't want to do that on your air here. But remember what happened in Russia, in the Soviet Union. The people finally got sick of the crap and said, we're not playing your game anymore. And it ended, and it was nonviolent, and it was like instant. And that's what we have to happen with cannabis prohibition. The people have to wake up. And they have to wake up that policies, government policies, are killing them, torturing them, and arresting them.
Hey, Bob, on these images that you posted on your site, I see them down the right-hand side there. What would be the chances of having those published, like in a peer-reviewed journal? And what is the situation, generally speaking, in the peer-reviewed science literature in terms of studies that have been done like this on cannabis?
All right. You know, the industry in general wants to be able to have patents because that's how they believe, that's the modus operandi of the industry. You know, you could have a much smaller industry and charge people a lot less and still make profits. But they're, you know, they already have this huge momentum going. It's kind of like the cancer of government. We have the cancer of the government associates, meaning the whores that pay the politicians, or the pharmaceutical companies, you know. So you got this whole natural disaster occurring there. Cannabis legalization should end the conventional pharmaceutical reality that we have. And I think that's what's going on. But I already forgot what your question is, so you'll have to re-ask it.
I'm curious how much has this stuff shown up in the literature?
Yeah, well, there are... We've published on our website. If you look on our press releases, you can follow it. We've released a list of over 800 peer-reviewed documents, scientific evidence published in all the leading journals of the world that document the cancer-killing ability of cannabinoids in the form of THC or a variety of synthetics, and in a few very, very rare circumstances with the use of either extract or smoked marijuana. But the point is, all of those hundreds of articles talk about the cancer-killing capacity. So, you know, it's not like we're pulling this out of our butts and saying, oh, ho, ho, you know, marijuana, we'll use that to kill cancer. No, there's a hardcore scientific foundation, and they just, because of the insane laws, can't do what we can do in states that have legalized marijuana. in Colorado.
On top of that, Bob, what I found is also interesting is even other cannabis activists will rubbish this idea that cannabis can cure cancer and saying, oh, it's going too far, you'll discredit the movement. And
I
it's
know, like, well, then, I've heard that.
You're already a bunch of stoners, bro. What do you got to lose?
I've been criticized for that. And you know what I did? I showed them these pictures.
Oh, well, that'll do it.
You know, I mean, wake up, people. I mean, if our people in our movement are so stupid that they can't wake up, and I must say that all except for one or two, upon looking at those pictures, have changed their minds, and I don't hear any crap from them anymore.
Yeah. Well, truth can shatter a thousand lies, you know.
And a picture is worth a thousand words.
Yeah. Hey, Billy, you've had some personal experience with those people telling you it won't work and then having it work, right?
Yeah, we get it pretty much all the time, Vinny, you know, from the doctors and that, always, you know, they're pretty consistent in saying that it won't work and trying to give us some other medication that they think will work. But at the end of the day, the facts speak for themselves, and the medicine that we get from our doctors makes us more sicker, and the cannabis works. And yeah, I just got a question there for the other doc you were talking to a minute ago. Is it Bob? Is you can, because see, we can't get like concentrated oils and stuff here in New Zealand. It's really hard to get it, so we've just been using like raw cannabis and eating it, or putting it in hot water and drinking it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be working, but you know, has Bob got any feedback on that? And even using it as a poultice, Bob.
Yeah, some of those things are going to be very good. Some of those things would need improvement. So, like a poultice, for example, for relieving swelling and things like that, or in a wound, that could be fine. Putting it in water, the active cannabinoids are not water soluble, so you will get a little bit out. That's traditionally been done, for example, in Jamaica. You know, with a kid, if a kid gets is not feeling proper, upset stomach, etc., cold, the mother might give him a cannabis tea because it's very mild, but it does have important biological activity. If you need to smoke it or eat it, the amount that you need to smoke is really quite a lot. You know, you need to consume about a half ounce a day.
Whoa, and that's medicinal usage, boy. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com.
America is in trouble.
Washington is a disgrace.
Government has become too big. It's overtaxing, overspending.
We need to change direction.
We really need change.
We can't afford to make the same mistakes we've made in the past.
Mitt Romney's reputation as a flip-flopper.
He went the other way when he got paid to go the other way.
There is need for economic stimulus.
It's about serial hypocrisy.
This election is about trust. There's been one true, consistent candidate, and that's Dr. Ron Paul.
Ron Paul has been so consistent from the very beginning.
He seems like a more honest candidate.
He tells the truth about what he believes, whether you like it or not.
He's never once voted for a tax increase, never once voted for an unbalanced budget.
Ron Paul's plan is bold, cut 5 departments. It's what we need.
When he says he's going to cut $1 trillion in the first year, I believe it.
If you don't like how things are going, you're tired of politicians, he's something different.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Is the one we've been looking for.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices shot up 3% Wednesday after the Fed's new loan rate pledge, despite a firmer dollar. Gold last traded at $1,711 an ounce, silver at $33.29. Well, the Fed has declared war on U.S. dollar holders, according to Craig Smith. Fed decision today to hold interest rates at 0% until 2014. It's essentially another quantitative easing. The Fed's decision is nothing short of a declaration of war against American savers. Savings accounts will yield a guaranteed negative return, as well as the loss of future buying power, says Smith. And gold is proving the best return of all commodities in the last 5 years, according to Bloomberg. Also, it's showing signs of being a riskless return. Read more about it at SwissAmerica.com. Or give us a call toll-free at 800-289-2646. Toll-free at 800-289-2646.
You're listening to the Future of Talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the bleeding uranium in the mortar? What you know about AIPAC controlling the reporter? What's wrong with the world? People kill people that other people command. Middle East is a modern day attack on a native land. Project eugenics planned on the common man, expand the military industrial complex
to the show that's all about the military industrial complex. It's the Vinnie Eastwood show. Speaking of a people who have got a complex, President of the United States of America, ain't that got to be one of the worst jobs in the world? You're surrounded by scumbags all day, photographed by douchebags all night, and you have to do what you're told. It's like being in an incredibly fancy prison with an extremely fancy gun held to your head.
I actually read an article one time by somebody who actually lives as a, it wasn't a security guard, but somebody who's on staff in the White House, and gave an inside view of the day-to-day, what it looks like in the White House. Barack Obama does not reside in the, you know, West Wing or whatever. He goes to this place and he sits there and watches TV, sits on the side of the couch with his shoes kicked off and in sweats, with his leg kicking off the side of the couch. And he lets people come in one at a time, 15 minutes max. And he sits there and watches TV while his other staff people talk to the whoever it is. They're you know, giving them this briefing to the president, and he's ignoring them watching TV. And that's the picture that he painted, very different from the Barack Obama we see on television, where he's, you know, all poised and well-spoken and very good at reading off the teleprompter. But on the inside scoop, a very different picture. He has these very obsessed with his image in the media. He's got these shallow magazines all over the coffee table that he goes through to see how people are talking about him and stuff. very different image from what we see publicly.
Well, what's he watching?
He's a bit of a. He's probably watching the news, looking for pictures of himself.
Either that, or porno, or cartoons. Who knows?
He's probably watching Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner reruns.
You know, yeah, he's not.
This is the country I've. This is the country I've come to be the president of. I'm the first black president. Off of an Acme rocket.
It's a strange world. It's a time of change, though, and we're helping to bring it about with this, you know, shows like yours, with pictures like we're showing, and you put all that together and you start to inform those of us who are the abused, you know, the cannabinoid-endowed, peaceful, loving people. We're the ones who have to wake up now and take back the world.
Mm-hmm. It's coming to the point where you know for a fact, and you can't ignore it anymore, that this isn't an accident. It's all deliberate. Everything that is happening that is screwing people over, endangering people's lives, and financing massive corporations is not an accident by any stretch of the imagination. It is real, clear and present danger. Okay? They are killing you to profit from your death. They figured out a very good scam, and they've educated a lot of people to think that the scam is real. And they will get you unless you wise up.
Hey, Bob, I'm sure you, with the expertise that you have in this subject, you'd be a good one to ask this question. Maybe you could give us a recap of why cannabis was made illegal in the first place, and to follow the money, who is behind it and who benefits, in a nutshell.
Well, I think it goes way, way back, you know, and in general, who benefits are these cannabis-deficient people. But it goes back, I forgot which pope it was, and which, it was back in, I think, maybe the 14 or 1500s, when there was I forget what they call it, an encyclical or some kind of pronouncement by the pope that hemp was so bad because basically it was used by midwives, and among the other things they could do with it was induce abortions. So there was that whole conflict starting back then. And then who was using it predominantly in America were blacks and Mexicans. So you had, there's a very fundamental racist element from its very beginnings, because if you remember, you know, the level of racism in particular against blacks, it was so profound that people made statements to the effect that cannabis was so bad because it would make a black man so uppity that he would look a white woman in the eye, or that a black man would step on a white person's shadow. I mean, this is the kind of severe mental illness that was behind it. And then, you know, prohibition came into play right after and around the Depression, and you had in the southeast, in the southwestern states, Mexicans working for labor cheaply, and that was, again, you know, keeping white people out of having their jobs. And then on top of that, you had jazz, which was viewed as the devil's music, and who was doing that? Blacks. So there was an incredible racist component to it, and that's how it originated. Plus, there's issues with hemp itself, which wasn't distinguished in the past. You know, it wasn't a high-low THC story. It was just, you know, different strains for different purposes. But supposedly, Hearst had large holdings down in Mexico that were to supply his newspaper with pulp. And when Pancho Villa had the revolution, that ended some of that. And if you, I don't know if you knew or not, but Pancho Villa's people, they smoked a lot of cannabis. You know the song, La Cucaracha, da 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 da. That's about a cockroach smoking pot and getting too stoned to dance.
And that's where the term roach comes from.
Yes. So, you know, there's a lot of racism and financial interest. And it was also at that very same time that all of this stuff was happening, that the pharmaceutical industry began. Because when you prohibited cannabis, you essentially outlawed the bulk of the previous medicines, because cannabis was in over 50% of them. You know, what they called patented medicines for the 100 years prior to the beginning of the pharmaceutical industry. So that right away put this whole link between the drugs and the pharmaceuticals and the politicians. And, you know, even at that time, the American Medical Association came out against making cannabis illegal.
So there's, you know, it doesn't matter how much of... This is the thing. It doesn't matter how much officialdom you get behind you, how many brilliant testimonies, how many great pictures, how many this, that, or the other. Nothing's a silver bullet. It all has to be cumulative, but the key is to actually get it out to people. This is the main thing that we really need the internet for, is because if this knowledge is known by a few and they don't share it, then the knowledge is powerless, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So bringing this up to modern times... what would you see as the primary bottleneck or logjam point in keeping cannabis from going mainstream?
Well, it's the federal government, you know, and think of it as the federal government. The people who work there are the height of the cannabinoid deficient, because they've woven their way to the top of the trash heap, so to speak. And right now in America, over 80% of the people are in favor of medical marijuana. And if you look at a state like California or Colorado where the people voted, I thought the voice of the people was the sacrosanct foundation of a democracy. So how do the feds have the right to try and override a vote by the people of their democracy? To me, that is tyranny right there. To me, they are fundamentally violating their oath to the Constitution right there.
So what if we were to see a success in Ron Paul's election? He's brought a lot of attention to this just for the fact that he's in favor of the legalization. What if he actually were to get into office? What would happen?
Well, he is a libertarian, and if he got into office, I think he would do it.
Now, he's one arm of the government. He's not the lawmaking body. He's the executive office. So how would he go about legalizing marijuana?
Well, all you need is a reclassification. See, unfortunately, the DEA seems to run so much of the drug policy. It's not that they're being told what to do by anything else, including the law. They do what they want. I believe that they've become a significant arm of the CIA. And the drugs are the way that they get into the different countries and have the same equipment and the same, you know, Nazi armaments, et cetera, et cetera. They've been told repeatedly over the years by their own administrative judge that cannabis does not belong in the Class 1 category. When the moron Richard Nixon first created the Controlled Substance Act, which was the foundation of marijuana prohibition, at that point, they didn't know how to classify marijuana, and they put it in a temporary classification of one until there was more information. Well, now there's tons of information. People keep, you know, I've told them to change it, and they are able to just ignore it. So
80% of Americans are in favor of legalizing. What about...
Well, no, in favor of medical marijuana.
Okay. And so 80% are in favor of medical uses. What about on Capitol Hill? What's the ratio there? I would imagine it's shifting in that favor gradually, and I'm wondering, do you know what the present makeup is and what would happen if a vote was brought before the body today?
Well, there are a number of measures to legalize medical marijuana or to keep the feds from attacking medical marijuana users in states that have approved them. There's a variety of bills out there, and none of them have made it through as of yet. So I guess that's the sad answer. Mm-hmm. That's why, again, this cancer story is going to hit everybody. You know, and their wives and vice versa are going to be saying, you've got to vote for this. You've got to end this. You know, my mother's dying of cancer, and her friend's mother, you know, survived by going to Colorado and getting cannabis treatment.
What kind of media coverage have you been able to get of that story?
Well, we keep trying to do more and more, you know, like the ones that we put out on our website get seen by a lot of people. And I know the court case that I'm going to be testifying in for this man who I just told you about with the leukemia, that's gonna keep expanding it. You know, knowledge grows and it reaches critical points and then it swarms, you know. So we're building a foundation, all of us having a show like this and us talking to our friends and everybody doing what they can do. That creates the noise and the potential for the communications that cause this nonlinear phase change, which will end prohibition just like it ended the Soviet Union and just like it's got to end the rule of the blips, the backward-looking people, and replace them with the forward-looking people so we can survive as a species. Otherwise, our continued ignorance of, you know, how man impacts on his environment will create an environment that no longer sustains man. So
both, I see it as a slow build-up and a quick overthrow.
Yeah, it is. You got to continue to build up until, bang, it happens.
I would see a parallel between...
It's like blowing up a balloon.
I would see a parallel between what's going on in the cannabis area and what I see in the world of free energy. Free energy has the potential to empower the individual and make them so they're no longer subservient or dependent upon the central powers that be. It disempowers the powers that be and it empowers the individual. If you've got a device in your garage that can power your house, that's cheaper than what they're getting from the fossil fuel industry, or is it something you can put in the back of your car that enables you to run forever without stopping for fuel?
Well, I have trouble with that. I don't believe that there
are things... Well, that's my area of specialty, okay?
Yeah, so I need to be educated if there's
yes,
something
Yes, you do.
There.
And so that's... I'm one of the guests here, so that's my, you know... That's my area of specialty. I can say there's a lot of very promising technologies. Go to top5energy.com. You'll see that the most promising... such energy technologies coming forward. The reason I brought that up as a parallel is because I see the medicinal uses of cannabis being on a parallel to the energy applications of these free energy devices. That it, the reason that the powers that be don't support this, you don't see this in the mainstream press, even when you have promising technologies experimented, you've got results, you've got... people going to market, they hardly touch it. They hardly give it a whiff because it disempowers their gravy train, the prostitutes. They get their money from, you know, various vested interests that don't want to see these things come forward because, like I said, it empowers the individual, disempowers the powers that be. And I would see medicinal cannabis as being of the same ilk, that it disempowers the healthcare industry, the drug industry that makes billions of dollars jacking up the price on these pills and whatnot, 100 times what it costs in the manufacturer. You know, I take insulin, I'm type 1 diabetic, and I'd be curious to know what the ramifications are of cannabis on that. But it used to be that you could get a vial. Right now, one vial of Humalog costs about $118 in the last 2-3 weeks. It used to cost around $5.
See, everything's changing in price these days, isn't it? I wonder how much of that is a reflection of the devaluation of currency by the Federal Reserve Bank. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. We've got Sterling Allen, Bob Melamed, and Billy McKay. Back in a minute.
The way it's going to be.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want.
This is Sean David Morton, the host of Strange Universe Radio, and I've achieved worldwide fame for my predictions about the stock market and the global economy. Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even the stability of nations. Our country teeters on the brink of seeming economic wreck and ruin. Everybody asks me one question: what can I do? Gold's the one investment that preserves and grows real wealth in today's debt-addicted world. Rising government spending and taxes and inflation almost guarantee higher gold prices for years to come. You can protect your family and your future, even if a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety from the financial storm ahead is to read Swiss America's fantastic new white paper called Remaking Money. It's free when you call 800-289-2646. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or go to SwissAmerica.com and download the new amazingly cool Swiss America app on iTunes. That's 800-289-BUY-COIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christopher Green. Make sure to tune in to Green Wave Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on American Freedom Radio. Hard-hitting and in-your-face, America.
In the Barack H. O'Berry, yes, we can rip off the country and make you love me while I'm doing it sense of the word. Yes, we can be more than ever, people. In fact, it would kind of be a little bit of a strange moment in history if people stopped progressing. I mean, there's times when we go back, but we just carry on progressing, don't we? Nothing ever ends entirely. And so there's no reason to be worried about it, especially in the year 2012. Bob, I wanted to get your take on this. The whole concept of evolution lying in with cannabis and that sort of thing. How do you really kind of explain that to the average person, that part of their evolution is due to cannabis-like molecules that are circulating in their body?
Well, that's what I actually do. I take this physics and lead it through the beginning of life and how life's changed to go from bacteria, for example, to protozoa, to multicellular organisms. And there was a very interesting point that evolved. First, you had clusters of cells, and then you had an indent that gave specialization. That was an anus and a mouth. And that eventually, as evolution proceeds, becomes the tube that runs through you, your anus and your mouth. And at that point, there was what's called a bifurcation, where two alternatives emerged from the underlying path. And in one of those, the tube opens up head first, and then the anus, and in the other group, it's anus and then the head. All vertebrates, therefore our entire lineage, we are butt first. We're called deuterostomes, whereas the head first constitutes the insects. And crustacean, lobsters, things like that. So, if you look at what's going on in those two groups, the one is very stagnant in that, the cockroach doesn't change that much over hundreds of millions of years. It may be bigger or smaller, but they haven't made iPods yet, Whereas if you look at our lineage, and you go through, amphibians and reptiles and birds and mammals, and then the whole evolution of mammals and the emergence of man, that all happened while, the cockroach stayed a cockroach. So what's going on there is the one group, the roach, the insect-like, they have learned to be very robust without themselves changing, whereas our lineage embraces the changing environment and becomes part of it in a changing fashion. Well, the amazing thing is...
Is this why people who just won't change really bug you?
Yeah, because they're more primitive in that sense. But listen to the kicker here. This will blow your mind. I believe this is, this is what's driving it. What has been found by people, not myself, Efflick and another friend, that the cannabinoid system, while the production of the chemistry has been in existence since the first single-celled protozoa, it was only after that divergence into the deuterostomes, the vertebrates, that cannabis receptors evolved. And you got to remember now that your cannabis receptors are regulating everything in your body. So they're central to that whole process. And it's your immune system and your nervous system that are monitoring what's coming into the collection of cells, the system that is an entity, right? Because they're monitoring the energy in the nervous system and they're monitoring the mass in the immune system. And those are both regulated by cannabinoids as well. And in all cases, in most of those cases, the cannabinoids tend to be turning down the kind of aggressive biochemistry.
Well, so in that sense, would you say, because cannabis is so good at regulating, wouldn't you say that people who use cannabis would be the perfect legislators?
Of course, because they can at least take in new information and try in a less aggressive, angry fashion to find a solution for now to then. It's always adaptation. You want to have a hypervariable interface that can match, and that's what cannabis does to your brain. It makes it more of a hypervariable interface.
So in essence, if the first black president, instead of Barack H. O'Berry, it was instead Snoop Dogg, this country would be in a lot better shape.
I think so.
You might well be right. There'd be an awful lot of slutty clothing that'd be given government subsidies, and everybody would be smoking blunts.
Well, I think that in reality...
By executive order, 420.
Well, we don't need to end prohibition, we need to reverse it.
Yeah, exactly. In the end, everything must come back to the beginning.
Well, they never did the other half of the experiment. They did one half of the experiment, we'll shut it down. Well, the other half of the experiment, let's turn it up.
Yeah, well, the other half of the experiment means that they don't have control over whether or not the experiment continues anymore.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what they're afraid of. They're afraid of losing control. And it's like, it doesn't make any sense because they've just got no empathy, basically. And they're sociopathic psychos who just lie about everything. They have no idea what the truth is, even if they thought it themselves. Even if it jumped up and bit them, they wouldn't know the truth about anything because they've just constructed an entire perplexity of lies amid their cranium. And they only need to just shush, listen, take in a few other ideas, and stop being such a douchebag in order to solve this problem.
Well, let me give you a prime example. This guy whose head you see in those pictures, he goes to his original doctor because he's telling his doctor how he's getting these miraculous effects and what he's doing, right? Now, this guy, 20 people have seen him and been blown away by how he's improved. He goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, "You're imagining it. It's not getting better. It's getting worse, and you're going to die if you don't go and have half your head cut off." So my friend is saying, you know, these people are really sick because it's right in front of their face and they can't even see it. And to show you how close they are, he would not look at the pictures of the woman's arm getting cured. He wouldn't look at it. He refused to look at it.
The Wright brothers were flying around for 4 years before science finally relented and admitted that they were wrong about that one.
Yep.
So goodness knows how long it'll take them to get over this one. Is there a lot of ego involved, do you think? Billy, you've been quiet for quite some time. You got anything to add to this?
Well, I don't think it's so much ego, it's just greed. But I suppose there's quite a lot of it is ego as well, with the doctors refusing to consider cannabis as a medicine. That's a really hard one for me to get over because, you know, we can prove to them that it works, and they even admit themselves in the New Zealand Medical Association has actually already admitted itself that it is an efficient medicine, and yet then when we want to use it, they deny it.
So it's like their little kids responding to peer pressure.
You have to realize why. It's because those are the people who are biologically less active in terms of cannabinoid activity than the other group, and for them change is a big stress, so they do anything they can to avoid change, and cannabis is like the epitome of change because it makes your brain change, and that's uncomfortable for them.
Yeah, so we need to get them to have a smoke, is that it?
That's why I'm saying this is what we're dealing with. This drug war is a war of racism because those who are cannabis deficient and aggressive are arresting and killing those of us who would choose to do something else.
Yeah.
I think that's what has to be brought before the UN. That's a factual scientific reality.
Yeah, it totally is. How many scientific factual realities have had the people who discovered them persecuted, ridiculed? Can you name me one that hasn't?
No.
See, no, you can't. But this is the thing. If you're going to come up with a new idea, if you're going to discover the truth about something, be prepared to experience a heck of a lot of opposition. Some people go out there and they're completely like, "Oh, this is the truth, man. Look at it. Check it out." And they expect everybody to respond to the truth as if they want to hear it, that kind of thing, because it'll improve their lives. This is the problem we have here. This total denial of truth at all levels. And we even stop communicating with each other on a truthful basis as well, for fear of rocking the boat as we watch relationships crumble because we're not communicating.
In talking about this evolution of ideas and progress of science and understanding, it may be argued that the chick hatching out of the egg needing to go through the rigors of popping itself out in order to succeed as a chick, that if you help them out, it actually does them a disservice. And so our hatching out of our backwardness and coming into this new understanding is going to be difficult and needs to be difficult so we can value what it is we get when we finally get to the end of the road of making cannabis legal, medical uses becoming replete. We'll be able to look back at these days and say, "Remember back when?" And I think that the whole difficulty of the struggle is part of the evolutionary progression. It's maybe an axiom of science.
I agree with you completely. That's we're part of the unfolding, and to go from one place to another, you got to go through the space in between.
Yep, exactly. The values on the journey, people. And if you're always focused about the end, that's exactly what you'll get. And thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining me here today. Bob Melamed, M-E-L-A-M-E-D-E. Go Google him, ladies and gentlemen. Sterling Allen and Billy McKee have been my guests, as well as Robin Falkov and some other people, I think. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. And we do require donations and things of that nature in order to keep this show running. So please go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com or GorillaMedia.co.nz and donate today. Thank you very much. We'll see you again sometime.
Thanks a lot, Vinnie. All right.